tenant requirements are shifting. This can be seen by Amazon and how many vans they have, how many trailer parking requirements we're seeing. So if you have a unique site, I think you're probably in a better position than some typical projects with a shared truck court. Tenants are looking for different amenities. So they're looking to keep as many trucks and trailers and inventory on site as possible. With that comes more employee activity, a lot of employee parking, manufacturing users, and if there's some light assembly, we're seeing heavier power requirements. We're also seeing a big increase in climate-controlled space requirements too. That's for a lot of food distribution, medical distribution needs to be as close to the user as possible. Texas has been favorable for manufacturing storage of those goods. We're obviously just a few hours away from the Port of Laredo and then Houston. So all that inbound product needs to be stored somewhere. A lot of it needs to be climatized. San Antonio has a big grocery market. So that's led by HEB and some of their vendors and suppliers here. And we are seeing groups move from other states that are, I guess, a little less business friendly to be closer to the center of the country and closer to growing Texas market. So this is a rundown. This actually goes in order of how we saw leases progress, what deals started to come back earliest. It was groups like Amazon, Restoration Hardware, Wayfair, Chewy has a big distribution center up in Dallas. Those group capitalized early. They were prepared. They had good analytics in place that told them where they need to be, and they moved. They pounced on some of the larger vacancies in each market we're tracking. Food and beverage is another big one. Everybody was so reliant on getting to the grocery store during the brief window you had early on in COVID. And then as kind of home grocery delivery has become more popular, food and beverage groups and grocery chains want to be close to the end consumer. They want at least more product all over different parts of town, different submarkets. And they have kind of the same model now as an Amazon, where they'll drive vans. So think of Instacart and groups like that. And then 3PLs, their costs are getting cut. It's very competitive for a lot of 3PLs right now. We're seeing a lot of groups chase Tesla, Toyota, auto manufacturing contracts. 3PLs are taking a ton of space in the market I'm tracking right now. They've been active since about January, February. Down here, I know in Dallas, it's probably a lot sooner than that. And then building materials, as people continue to relocate to places like Texas, other states in the Sun Belt, building materials distribution companies can't get enough space. They typically like single-user facilities with yard. And I briefly mentioned auto parts distribution. And that's kind of my market specifically, because Tesla should be opening up here shortly, and they're starting to award contracts. So lately, we've seen those distributors come back into the market. So here's where we can go back and forth a little bit. It's obviously impacted how tenants and landlords negotiate leases. It's a landlord's market. It's a tighter market. Landlords are really taking it to tenants in some cases. So what Anna Lee and I had talked about is it may not be a bad idea to engage counsel during LOI negotiations. Make sure your client's protected. Yeah.
That's something that I always recommend, regardless of the type of market that it is, but particularly right now when you rep tenants a lot of times. So is the audience mostly all attorneys, or is it, I'm not sure if it's all attorneys in the audience, but generally it's, if you can get in the LOI negotiation phase, you have a better chance and opportunity to help the client get certain provisions in or out that you may not be able to do if they come to you after they've already executed an LOI. And so if you're thinking, for attorneys, if you have broker contacts who typically send you tenant leases, maybe that's something that you communicate with them. Hey, if you can get me in at the LOI phase, we might be able to get a couple of things in or out that will benefit the tenant that they wouldn't necessarily have negotiated. Obviously, Kevin is a landlord rep, so that's not his preference. But, you know, we've seen over the years, I've seen, you know, LOIs where we just wish we would have gotten in because we could have probably had an impact on the lease terms. So yeah, that's a big thing, especially right now, to have counsel early.
Yeah. And that'll save everybody time too. You don't want any surprises. You get to lease and you think a deal's done. You've added value for your client. I guess on my side, only to basically renegotiate everything, and have a super red line lease where you're spending another month or more trying to figure out a deal. I would say on the tenant side, be mindful of new groups entering the market. Do your due diligence on developers or landlords if you haven't heard of them. There are there's a shift. It's definitely more active on the development side with the increased need for industrial. We're seeing a lot of brand new groups try to put land under contract, build their first deal, and some of them have no intention of holding it. So they may sign a lease. They may not be able to deliver the building on time. So especially with delays in construction materials, I would be mindful of that. Know who you're dealing with. You know, try to do some due diligence, background work, ask for second opinions from contractors and try to figure out whether or not what the landlord says they can commit to is reasonable.